September 18th, 2015 meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is hereby called to order. Ms. Phillips, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Kirby?
I'm here.
Trustee Fisher?
Here.
Trustee Joyce?
Here.
Trustee Lee?
Here.
Trustee Young?
Here.
Trustee Bowden?
Present.
A quorum exists for the business of the board to begin. Ms. Phillips, will you verify that the notice for this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The meeting notice requirement has been met. Notice was posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration Student Union Act of Governors.
The first thing on our agenda is to approve the board minutes from our June 25th, 2015, August 13th and 14th, 2015, and August 31st, 2015 board meetings. Are there any comments or corrections to the minutes from any of those meetings? Hearing no comments or corrections, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Kirby?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Lee?
Yes.
Trustee Williams? I'm sorry, Trustee Fisher?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Bowden?
Yes.
Our first report will be from Academic and Students Affairs. Trustee Joyce?
Provost?
Thank you, Trustee Joyce. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, trustees, faculty, staff, and students. Today is a great day for Academic and Student Affairs. Today, we are having our first meeting in the College of Pharmacy. I'd like to officially thank Dean Mobley Smith for leading this process. Actually, the former Dean of Pharmacy, or our founding dean, helped to start the process of the renovation, and Dean Mobley Smith has completed it. In addition to that, we have our two associate deans, Dr. Gentry, Elmer Gentry, and Dr. Carmita Coleman, Mr. Lewis Wright, who was involved with the development. In addition, we have our chair, staff, and faculty who have been involved with ensuring that we have the best facility in Chicago as it stands for the College of Pharmacy. I also like to thank Ms. Monique Horton. Ms. Horton has served as the project manager. Ms. Horton, please stand. She has served as the project manager for this renovation, and she will provide you with more information as we move into the meeting. In addition to that, I'd like to thank Mr. Ed Maliker. He is the assistant chief engineer. Please stand. As you know, when you are renovating a facility, this is the former library, Douglas Hall, it can be quite daunting because you have an old facility and you try to make it into a state-of-the-art facility. So many people have played a role in making that happen. Mr. Tracy Obershant, who is our director of facilities, please stand as well. And we have to give a thanks to retired chief Ronald Watson. Although he's retired, he stepped in as soon as he started at the university, and he played a key role in helping us to complete this project. In addition to that, Chief Patricia Walsh actually stepped in this summer to ensure that we got it completed as well, and I'd like to thank her because we still have a lot of work to do as it relates to ensuring the safety of the facility and just completing the renovation. Also, Mr. Prashant Shendi, when it comes to technology, it's important for us to have the right people around the table, and he has played a key role as well. And last but not least, I'd like to thank our President Emeritus, Elnora Daniels, as well as our current President, Dr. Wayne Watson. Thank you for your leadership on this project. Just a little bit of information. This year we've had 90 new pharmacy students join us, and it was very, we had a white coat ceremony 2 weeks ago, and we were very pleased to have them to start their classes in this facility. So later this month, or in October, we will invite you back to our official week of Welcome Week, and we'll dedicate a few rooms to some of our donors. Next on the agenda, I am pleased to share with you that we have completed an articulation agreement with South Suburban College. Actually 2 years ago, we started to cultivate this relationship or recultivate this relationship, and we invited President Donald Manning out to visit the campus. He spent some time with us. We started to develop a relationship, and then we started to work with his vice president for academic affairs, Dr. Lynette Stokes. And so through the cultivation of that relationship, Dean Leslie Roundtree, Dr. Britt, and a number of individuals started to work together to ensure that we came up with an articulation agreement that would ensure that we had a seamless articulation between the Community Health Worker Basic Certificate at South Suburban, the Community Health Worker Certificate, the Associate in Applied Science and Community Health Worker, and Chicago State University's Bachelor of Science in Community Health. So with that said, I would like to invite Dr. Britt to come up to say a few words, and then I'd like to ask Mr. Donald Manning, President, Dr. Lynette Stokes, to say a few words on behalf of South Suburban, and then we can sign this wonderful articulation agreement. Dr. Britt?
Good morning.
Indeed, this is a great day. This process, as the provost just mentioned, has been a few years in the making. Actually, we initially thought about having a community health worker program at Chicago State, and so rather than reinvent the wheel, we reached out to Jeff Waddy at the South Suburban, and we had a few meetings with him. And so we started looking at our curriculum and their curriculum, and we went through a number of other meetings, and so finally we're here. And we're looking forward to that. We wanted to have a community health worker program here at Chicago State, as well as one at South Suburban. And the good news is we're in a different area, and so we're not really in competition with them, but those students who finished their associate degree at South Suburban, we want to attract them to come to Chicago State to get their baccalaureate degree and also to continue to get their Master of Public Health. Oh, I'm the chair of the Department of Health Studies. Within the Department of Health Studies, we have three programs. We have the Master of Public Health, we have the Community Health Program, and we have the Pre-Physical Therapy Program. The Master of Public Health Program, as well as the baccalaureate program in Community Health, are both going through the self-study so that they both can be accredited by the Council on Education for Public Health.
Dr. Britt, would you very briefly give us that 30-second as to your background, your degrees, your work with Dr. Terry Mason?
30 seconds.
I want everybody to have the context of our program.
I'm a physician, and I'm actually a radiologist by training. And I got, I've practiced for a number of years, and the idea of coming to academia was an attractive idea given the circumstances going on at the time. And so Dr. Balogun invited me to come, and so I'm here. Dr. Mason and I, we met in medical school several years ago. We were, several. And this is a little senseless plug here, but one of the persons sitting on the dais, Nikki Zoller, is the daughter of Lowell Zoller. And Lowell Zoller was a physician. He was a pediatrician. He worked with Billy Wright Adams, and they trained us. They trained us in pediatrics at Mercy Hospital, and we've kept in touch over the years. Dr. Mason is also on my advisory board for the MPH program. Dr. Mason and I, we put together a prospectus to do a health policy institute here at Chicago State. We're in the process of trying to fund that.
I just want everybody to understand the context of the man who is sitting at this table.
Dr. Roundtree had a personal matter to attend to, and so she sends her regrets. And so Dr. Britt, who is the chair of her Department of Public Health, the Master's in Public Health and Health Studies, is standing in for her. So with that said, I'd like to ask President Manning and Vice President Stokes to please come to the table to say a few words about this new relationship.
President Manning?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I would request a similar situation. Could you give a little bit of context as to who you are in the challenging and wonderful and fulfilling journey that you have personally traveled in terms of your career?
I will, Dr. Watson. First, thank you for having us, Dr. Watson, members of the board, and we do value this relationship with Chicago State University. I told Dr. Watson my story a few years ago, and I generally don't like to toot my own horn, if you will, and I'm not doing that, but I have a story that I like to share primarily with young people, in that I started at South Suburban College 26 years ago, and I was hired as the manager of the night custodial operation. That was how I started at South Suburban College. And South Suburban College afforded me the opportunity. I was able to get advanced degrees. I was able to learn the nuances of South Suburban College, and I developed a real love for working at South Suburban College. But I had always worked on the support services side of the house, and I never really got involved with the programs. And at some point, I started to get involved with programs, and I realized that that was my real love, because like all of you, we're helping a lot of people. We're really impacting on people's lives, especially in this community here. We have a lot of unemployment and underemployment, and every time that we can help someone get a credential to get a better job, we have really made a difference in someone's lives. So that's my story, and I like to tell that to young people primarily because young people need to understand that if they set their minds to it and they go to school, which is real important, we need to emphasize that you need to get those credentials. They could do whatever they want to do. And I certainly would love to see someone in one of the students at South Suburban College ultimately someday to become the president of South Suburban College. I would love to see that happen. We value this program. This is a stackable certificate degree program, and that's important for our students because students need to have small little milestones to achieve, because sometimes telling a student that you need to go to college for 4 years, 8 years, whatever it is to get that advanced degree, that seems kind of daunting. But if we could set things up in such a way that they reach these little milestones where they get the basic certificate, then the certificate, then the associate's degree, then the bachelor's degree, master's degree, and doctoral degree, that's a little bit more obtainable for our students. And psychologically, students can embrace that better. So this is a wonderful program. We incentivize the students to just reach those little mini goals a little bit at a time, and then ultimately we want them to continue to go to school for the rest of their lives. So this is a wonderful program. You have an excellent staff here. They're very cooperative. Dr. Watson, we've worked with him for a number of years, and we appreciate everything that you've done, Dr. Watson. So we look forward to working with you on this program and other programs for that matter. So with that, Dr. Watson, I'll turn it over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Stokes.
In full disclosure, and to be transparent, your esteemed colleague is someone that we have a very long relationship with.
That is correct.
Had the pleasure of hiring her a few years ago.
Just a few.
As the Dean of Arts and Sciences at one of my colleges.
That is correct.
And one of the best hires that we made, and I'm sure it's definitely one of the best hires that you've made. Dr. Stokes.
Good morning, and thank you for having us here. I have the pleasure of serving as the Vice President of Academic Services at South Suburban College just 2 years now. As Dr. Watson mentioned, I did come from City Colleges of Chicago. I was there for 12 years. Had a wonderful experience, wonderful journey in learning more about education. My background actually was in social science. I was worked in social service and foster care for almost 10 years or so. My background, I came up in the child welfare system, and with that wanted to always give back, understood the value of education. Coming up in the child welfare system, I lived in 7 different foster homes and a couple of group homes, and was always told that education was the pathway out, and it was for me. So going into education and being in the social service, I have an opportunity to meet young adults and to talk about my experience and whatever barriers that I overcame, that they too had the same type of opportunity to overcome. And this is really quite exciting, the community health worker pathway. As President Manning talked about, the pathway we have at South Suburban with a stackable degree and the importance of that stackable degree and students having milestones and being able to see the immediacy of one step at a time, and that this is a reality that we can get here, and that you can have the bachelor's degree, and whatever barriers that were in place, there's a way for us to break them down together. So South Suburban College, Chicago State, working together, making this a reality. Thank you. Thank you for that opportunity. I also want to say thank you, he's not here, to Jeff Waddy and Dr. Britt. They were really key and instrumental in getting us here today. Thank you.
I have one question, please.
Yes, sir.
How many students are in the program right now?
Right now, there are 35 students, I believe, in the program. They're in either the first or the third semester, or second semester, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Chairman Young, I just want to say also that we're exploring different pipelines for students to go into this program, and we've had a number of pastors and ministers that have reached out to us that have expressed an interest in finding jobs for persons in their churches. So that's one of the pipelines that we're looking at for this particular program, is the faith-based
that's
organizations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
What I would like to add is that this program, it is the foundation block. This is the foundation block for building enrollment within a university and a college. So as you have seen for the last, I think, what, two or three board meetings?
Yes.
We have brought before the board and the community each time a program like this where we're signing an agreement with a community college. And you will see more of this at every future board meeting. This is how you grow enrollment, by working with community colleges.
I also like to introduce to you, we have a new addition to our College of Health Sciences, who will be going out building enrollment in our health sciences programs and ensuring that we implement the articulation agreements that we are signing. And so I'd like to ask Ms. Courtney Sanders to say a few words. She is the former vice president of enrollment management at Governor State University, and she brings a lot of experience to the table. And her charge is to help us to, again, to build enrollment in our College of Health Sciences. Is one of our most popular programs, but we want to attract more talent, and she'll be helping us to do that. We want to get more information out into the community about the excellent programs that we have. She will be visiting hospitals, community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, elementary schools, high schools. She has a big job ahead of her, and I'd like her to say a few words to the board as by way of an introduction.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Provost Henderson. As Provost Henderson said, I come to you as the former Vice President for Enrollment Management and Marketing at Governor State University. However, I've had a long career in higher education for over 24 years. I've now worked at 5 different universities in several different areas, such as the Registrar's Office, admissions, transfer admissions. Transfer actually holds a special place in my heart because it's actually where I got my start at Southern Illinois University as a graduate assistant, first as a student worker and then as a graduate assistant. I actually helped write the first 2+2 agreements for Southern Illinois University back in the 90s with the community colleges in that area. And so transfer has always been a little bit of my baby. And so I actually knew Dr. Manning from Governor State and from Robert Morris, and so was very excited to be working with him again. And I'm very excited for this opportunity, as my educational background is in the health community health area. I have a community health degree as well as a counseling degree. So this was a great fit for me, and I'm very excited to be here and looking forward to the challenge. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'd like to ask the chairman, the president, and President Manning, as well as Vice President Stokes, Chairperson Britt, and Ms. Sanders to please join us for the signing of the articulation agreement. And Trustee Joyce, who is the committee chair of academic affairs. And Dr. Carol Cordelette, our new Vice President of Enrollment Management. President Manning. We're going to do three. We're going to send one with you. President Watson.
Of course, we know you're fantastic because you were trained by best.
Thank you. You got your pen. I'll take that
one. This is blue. You don't want that.
Dr. Stokes.
I
Next, we have a brief update from our HLC co-chairs, Professor Exumwe Quimbe and Dr. Tonya Hall.
Good morning, Board of Trustees, President Watson, Provost Henderson, and all members of the CSU community. My name is Dr. Tonya Hall, and I'm an associate professor and staff psychologist of counseling, and also an adjunct professor in psychology, and currently the co-chairperson of the University Accreditation Steering Committee, which we call UASC. Today, we would like to speak to you about the UASC. We consist of more than 50 members, including administrators, staff, faculty, staff, and alumni. The purpose of the UASC is to meet students and the standards and the criteria of the Higher Learning Commission, or HLC, which provides accreditation to over 1,000 universities in 19 different states. According to HLC, accreditation is the implementation of continuous improvement projects by universities and colleges. Chicago State University has been accredited for, anyone know? How long have we been accredited here at Chicago State University? I'll tell you, we have been accredited since January 1st, 1941, for 74 years.
Amen.
Most recently, in 2012, Chicago State received reaffirmation of accreditation. This means we have accreditation for 10 years or until 2022. Within this 10-year period, we are required to submit two monitoring reports. The first report is the communications monitoring report. It was submitted and approved by HLC in 2012. Our next monitoring report is the enrollment planning monitoring report. It is due to HLC in June of 2016. In addition to the monitoring reports, we also will submit an assurance file report. The insurance file report looks at how CSU is meeting the criteria mandated by HLC. And this assurance file report is also due in June of 2016. In addition, we will have a full site visit by HLC during the spring of 2017. We are very busy at Chicago State University. The University Accreditation Steering Committee, as well as the subcommittees, and I'd like to have those members to stand for you at this time. All members of UASC and our subcommittees members, please stand. Thank you. All members of Chicago State University, our community, are welcome to join UASC. So feel free to contact myself or my co-chair at hlc@csu.edu. My co-chair will speak to you about the packet that you have, and I thank you, you have it, okay, thank you. So you have a packet here, and what we have for you is the first page is comes from the Higher Learning Commission, and it tells the information that's listed for Chicago State University that we are an accredited university.
The second page is a new mission, vision, and core values. These are the mission statement, vision statement, and core values of Chicago State University. That's in two parts. If you move on to the next packet, it is the criteria for accreditation and core components that's listed by HLC, and these are the core components and criteria that we will meet. Last in the packet, you will find the accredited programs here at Chicago State University, and the U.S. looks more at more issues than just the HLC and meeting those criteria. There are a number of colleges and departments that are also accredited, and those colleges and departments are listed here for you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I apologize because I didn't bring my glasses, so I couldn't see. Sorry.
I have a question,
yes.
Doctor. If we were accredited for 10 years in 2012, it seems almost as if we're going through accreditation again when they're paying a visit, and I'm trying to understand exactly what this visit is about if it's not going through accreditation all over.
Thank you, Trustee Young. Okay, so we are on what HLC considers the standard pathway. And they have several visits within that time that they come out. It's there's a list per year, and during the fourth year of the 10-year cycle, they come out and do exactly what they would do in the 10th year, which is they look at are we meeting the standards, the criteria, et cetera. And then they come out for a visit and talk to us at that time. The only difference between the fourth year and the 10th year is that during the 10th year, the decision will be made for reaffirmation of accreditation. This year, they are just coming out to look at these criteria and standards, and will evaluate us based on that.
Sir, the reason why HLC did this is that what they found over the decades is that when they gave a college 10 years accreditation, that they found that it was too long of a period of time to just not give them any attention at all. So they now say it's one of two routes, either the standard and the second one is the
open pathway.
The open pathway. And we're in the standard one. They now say, let us at least just take a look at you. Because when we left universities alone for 10 complete years, when they got back 10 years later, you know, so that's what happened. And so we got our full 10 years, but this is part of the new process now. Did I answer that?
That is correct, Dr. Watson.
So what happens if they don't like what they see in the four-year evaluation?
Well, I believe we will continue to, we will receive monitoring, okay? So they will come out if they see anything, they will ask us to look at these areas. But we will maintain our accreditation until 2022.
But we need to also add, we do not expect they will see anything that they do. I mean, let me put this in context, Mr. Chair, being that you asked that question. That is not our goal, our expectation. They will see everything that they need to see. So there should be no monitoring report.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, Doctor, thank you for affirming that those of us with degrees from this institution from long ago were valid. That's good to know.
Actually, we asked there are two co-chairs. They're faculty members. They're both full. They're both tenured, and they're both members of the faculty senate, and they're faculty leaders at the university. And so they actually took over the reins of Dr. Paul Muzio and Dr. Gab Mulugeta, who were previous co-chairs for the last self-study, which was in 2012. So we're very pleased to have them leading the process. They have collaborated with faculty, staff, and students, And what we did was, after 2012, we didn't stop the process, so the committee continues to meet every month. This summer, we met every week. This is an assurance visit, and we want our Board of Trustees to have that language because it's not a reaffirmation visit. So when they come, they want to assure that we are demonstrating continuous quality improvement over the years. So you can be in a standard pathway and you have a report due every 4 years, or you can be in an open pathway, and the open pathway you do a project every year. So we're in a standard pathway. We feel like we are very much on track, and we have great leadership. So thank you. With that said, our next action item, I'm gonna move to the action item. Yes, sir. Is our Chicagoland Regional College Program Resolution. I am requesting that Dr. Dave Canis join us as we present this resolution. You can present.
Good morning, Board of Trustees, Dr. Watson. The Chicagoland Regional College Program is a program based at UPS where students can work at UPS, receive a stipend, and also receive their college tuition paid. There are currently 7 institutions involved, not 8 as stated in the proposal, and they are Chicago State, Governor State, Morton College, Moraine Valley, Olive Harvey, Prairie State, and Richard J. Daley College. Currently, there are 210 students enrolled in this program, most coming from Moraine Valley. And what this resolution does is it gives us the, it moves the this program from the Chicago State Foundation into the university, and we run the program for all 7 colleges. The employees who work for the program are Chicago State employees. We receive money from UPS to run this program. And so we are the lead institution. And what this resolution does is it moves the program from the Chicago State Foundation into the university.
I have 2 questions, Doctor. One, how many of the students are Chicago State students?
Correct. The vast majority of the students are Moraine Valley. Over half of them are. It's right near the location. Currently, there are 27 Chicago State students with 8 who have applied within the last week. So we expect there to be 35.
Okay. And I guess the fee the university receives for administering this program, is that taken for the grant, or is that something separate that comes from UPS?
Okay, so it's a bit complicated as to where this money comes from. In the past, all $2 million came from the state of Illinois through a Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity grant. Right now, those grants have been suspended, so all the money is coming directly from UPS. To directly answer your question, we receive $150,000 a year to administer this program, whether the money comes from UPS or from a state grant.
Doctor, I think if I don't misinterpret you, I think the chairman was asking, is that in addition to the $2 million, or was there a percentage taken from the right. $2 million, as it were?
Yes, good question. It's a flat fee out of the $2 million. So out of the $2 million, we fund the 213 to two, around, it's usually around 250 students a year who end up getting funded, stipend and tuition. It also funds the 3 full-time employees and their fringe benefits. And we also receive $150,000 out of the funds to total around $2 million. $2 million is an estimate. Yes, and it's reimbursable. UPS actually fronts us the money first, so we are not putting the university in any fiscal danger by fronting the money. UPS gives it to us, and then if the state reimburses us for that, we reimburse UPS.
Question. The length of the program as of this, how long has it been in operation?
That's a good question. I actually don't know the answer to that question. I believe it's been over 15 years. And Chicago State has always been the lead, but I have not been able to...
Well, my question was, how many students, Chicago State students, have gone on to careers at UPS as a result of the program?
Yeah, that's a good question. We should find out the answer to that question. I will say that about a third of the students who work at UPS through this program, while they're a student, are actually supervisors and not package handlers. Because they're so smart, they are put in positions of leadership and they're not actually package handlers. And a lot of our students have gone on to work at UPS later, but I do not know the specific numbers. I will get them for you.
I'd like to know if you...
UPS should be commended because over the last decade, two decades, this program has been funded by the state and then various things happened and it will not be funded by the state, but throughout that entire period of time, UPS, the management, the leadership, they have stepped up and funded the program when the state, for one reason or another, cannot. So they have invested millions of dollars in this program, and they need to be commended. They believe in this program, and it has without a doubt helped hundreds of students to continue their education.
It is also a model for the rest of the nation. This is the program that UPS points to as the model.
And our legislative body must be commended because they are the ones who actually funded year after year after year, except for those small interim periods when they cannot.
Any other questions about the resolution? We're ready to present the resolution. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Fation? Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zala?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Joyce.
Can we now hear from enrollment management, please?
Thank you.
Doctor, please introduce yourself. I don't think...
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Chairperson Young, trustees, President Watson, and the community members of CSU. I'm Dr. Carol Cordelette Albrecht. I have been on board for just a little bit less than 3 months as the Vice President for Enrollment Management at Chicago State University. And I wanted to start out a little bit by talking about why I'm so excited to be here and a little bit about my experiences for the last 3 months, because it really has, it's very relevant to our discussion about enrollment. I've been in higher ed in enrollment management positions for about a little bit less than 25 years. I have worked at DeVry University, Governor State University, Purdue Calumet University in enrollment management positions. And one of the things that makes this particular institution so unique and so different is the fact that everywhere across this campus that I have encountered, the conversation about enrollment, retention, and graduation happens everywhere. And for those of you who are members of the CSU community, you know this, that there's spirited discussions, debates, meetings, lots of discussion about enrollment. And this, to me, is the ideal situation to be in my position. In the past, I have had roles where I had to start the conversation at the places that I've worked, introduce the concept of enrollment management, and help people understand the connection between our behaviors, the services we provide, the quality of our education, and student outcomes. Here, we are all active in that conversation, and I'm very glad to be a part of that conversation. The other thing that makes CSU different than any other place that I've been, that really attracted me to it and has been part of my passion, is that this institution's mission is to provide access to a particular group of students. Access to students is really the mission that I feel is everywhere in this community. It's different than in other places. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about that difference and why it's so important. What I have handed out, for those of you in the audience and the board members, I have handed out the total enrollment figures for the state schools in Illinois. And I did this so that I could have the bigger picture set out for you, actually. We are down in enrollment. There is no doubt. We are down by about close to 9%, about 450 students. But the nature of why we're down and the constitution of those students is also something we need to speak about. For example, of that 455 students, 60 are new students. That means that compared to last year, we are a little bit less than 60 down from where we were. We also have a persistence percentage to share. There's about 337 students that were continuing level students who did not re-enroll from last year. We combine that with a few other areas and we come up with, unfortunately, the greatest deficit of enrolled students in the state of Illinois. And then they said, "Welcome to your job, Carol." And I said, "Thank you for having me, because this is exactly what I want to be here for." The situation with our students and our enrollment right now cannot be excluded from the situation that's going on with the budget in the state of Illinois. And the reason that's the case is because of the student population that we serve, more so than any other state institution. And I want to give you just a brief profile of that student population. Conversations that I've had this past week, in fact, have discussed the difference between us and our other state schools. And I'm gonna make that difference to you a little bit more visible. They say that CSU is a lot like Governor's State or Northeastern. And they say, "Oh, well, Governor's State, for example, they saw an increase in enrollment, actually. They saw an increase of 162 students or 2% this year for fall. But we're not Governor's State. What we are is an institution that's different. For example, 57% of our students are first-generation students that don't have the access to the support systems or the experience or the luxury of their parents or friends or family. 42% of GSU students are first-generation. 59% of CSU students are at or below the poverty level. 71% of CSU students receive Pell Grants. And for those who may not be familiar with Pell Grants, that is a grant that is given by the federal government based on need, on economic need. 71% of our students need that grant in order to pursue higher education. We can compare that to 51% of students at Governor State University that need that grant, and 48% at Northeastern. This is just one of the ways that our population is unique, and it's very relevant to identify the characteristics of the students and their connection to our mission. Because it's relevant because of the impacts in the budget that we have seen. Specific things that have hit our student lives, the lives of our students, include MAP grant, withholding money for MAP grants. At Chicago State University, nearly 70% of our students receive federal, Illinois funding, state funding, to help them to go to school. On average, that's about $2,500 per student, 70% of our students. That money was announced that it would be potentially withheld from them. And that's a good portion of the amount of money that they needed to go to school. Last year, I believe at the same time, we had a foundation to work with at Chicago State. We had access to funds to be creative and inspiring and reach out to students to get them to come to CSU and to change their lives. We don't have that luxury this year. We're in a different time than we were last year, and we've got a different group of students. And I think it's really very important that we talk about that. What I want to talk about, aside from the drop in enrollment, is I want to talk about the positive things that I have seen from this enrollment, from our new student population, that's really, really indicative of where we want to move and where we want to be, including the wonderful type of articulation meetings and signings that we had today. I see a future with that. Provost and I and the academic team are working very closely on developing that and making our pathways strong for students to come to CSU. But in our new student population, we have a 5% increase in male students. This is important. We've got a strong, very strong female student population. We want diversity. That's good. 5% increase is a good increase. We have seen a 28% increase in new veteran student enrollments. Again, a population of students that we are working strong together to build an infrastructure for, to support them. We have seen a 29% increase in the number of new graduate students at Chicago State University. That is wonderful news to share. Our programs are getting out there. Our academic excellence reputation is being spread, and it's only going to continue. Our international student population has increased by 15%. Again, these are four very, very key areas to look at student population that we see positive growth and momentum that we're going to be moving forward with. The final statement that I wanted to make about the population of our new students and what it says is that compared to last year at the same time, we have nearly the same amount of transfer students as we did last year. That means that that's a good thing. We don't have a drop in transfer students. We don't have a growth, but we have not seen a decline. That is a really positive thing for us to identify, because we are still, as those numbers would indicate, a very well-respected institution for students and transfer students throughout the state of Illinois and our community college partners. And these are areas that we will be working on to increase enrollment.
Doctor, I'd like to just stop you here for a minute, because I think we want to dig a little deeper into the numbers.
Sure.
All of us, as you know, have been very concerned about enrollment and watching the decline over the years. I think you stated that our student population is often in need of financial support. So we all watched this summer. We all kept track of where we were with enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, please, at some point I thought I heard that we were up over our numbers from last year at this time, and that in fact the issue that we have is not that people do not want to come to Chicago State, but that they cannot afford to come to Chicago State. Tell me, is that true or is that not true?
That is true. That is very, very true. What you're referring to is the population of students that we had before we performed what we call drop for non-payment. So after the first week of class, the students who have not been able to put down the money to secure their enrollment in their courses are notified that they will be dropped. This is not a new message. It is a practice that we have been doing here for a few years, and it's necessary because we receive Title IV funding from the federal government. So what we do is we let the students know before such and such date, you need to make your payment or else you're going to lose your classes. But as we were getting close to fall, the start of fall, we watched these numbers. We increased the communication. We started with a population of over 800 students that were going to be dropped based on this kind of situation. Not being able to make a minimum payment, not having financial aid information taken care of, a variety of minor situations that could be tweaked in some cases to get them in. So we worked that list down from 800 to 500. And so when we did the actual drop for fall, we went from 1% positive in our enrollment over last year to virtually 8% negative.
Okay, so that is the point that I want to bring home to this board and that I think we need to look at. The fact is that students from around the state and the city in particular, want to come to Chicago State. And in fact, the numbers have been going up. But because they do not have the funding, our numbers go down into a basement. Now that's just a fact. Is that correct or is that not correct?
That is a fact,
okay,
yes.
That's all I want to know, because it's wonderful that we helped as many as we could.
Yes.
And it's wonderful that we have these programs, but the real bottom line is, what is it that keeps our enrollment declining? And the bottom line is, it comes down to dollars and cents.
Ms. Chairman.
Very often.
My question is, when we talked about all these students who were dropped, mm-hmm. that means they were here last semester and they are dropped this semester. So if we found the money for them last semester, the Pell grants are still coming. I know there's a problem in Springfield with the MAP money, but I understand we're basically fronting the MAP money,
yes.
with the expectation that whenever there's a budget, we'll get it back. So if the Pell grants are here, we're paying MAP money, all these students, we found a way to get them tuition money last year. What happened?
Part of it, sir, is that we do not have the foundation dollars available to us this year. Last year we had close to, throughout the year, about $300,000 of foundation dollars. At this point, I think we have only gotten about $20,000 in foundation dollars. So those dollars are not available to our students to get scholarships. Secondly, even though we have fronted the dollars in terms of the MAP dollars, as you were saying, we had to, students were informed that if for any reason the state did not provide us the MAP dollars by December, that they would be responsible. I'm looking at my vice president of finance, that the student would be responsible for paying those dollars back. A number of students said, no, thank you, and decided not to take the MAP dollars. So a combination of the fact that we do not have a significant amount of our foundation and MAP. And then there were some changes in some Pell stuff within the last year or two about transcripts and validation of tax transcripts. Two or three things really affected our students. The other question I would like to ask, sir, is you asked Trustee Zoller and said we were up 1%. Not to, disagree with you, I thought that we were up at 3% prior to right when classes were starting or right around that period of time. Am I wrong on that?
I think it was 1%.
1%?
Yes, okay. On that date.
I only raise it because This is such a critical issue.
Yes.
Enrollment is a critical issue, and we have to really hone in on what are our areas of concern. Is it that we are not providing the curriculum that people want? Is it that we are not a welcoming university? Is it that we are not doing a good job in recruitment? Or is it that we don't have the money to support the type of student who comes here? And all I'm getting at is that as I watched this over the summer, we were increasing. We were up, and today we're down in a basement. And the bottom line for the reason we're down in the basement is the money.
It's a very, very strong influencing factor, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And this is not, I'm not trying to be combative. I think you know where I'm gonna go with this. I'm not gonna ask you the number of first-time students, but I do know it, and it's horrendous, candidly.
Yes.
And in my 3 years on the board, I have asked continuously about what we're doing with recruiting in the high schools in Chicago, in the surrounding suburbs, and so on. And I'm sorry to say this, but the answers I seem to have gotten are shallow and empty. I don't see the university's commitment to recruiting a legitimate, significant freshman class. And I know that we're not present in the high schools to speak of very much, because I was a high school guy. I mean, I know this mm-hmm. stuff. Now, if the university doesn't want to engage in that kind of a program, that kind of an approach, okay, say that, and let's scrap the whole idea of having a legitimate incoming freshman class. But if we do, then somebody needs to get after this. It's been an incredibly frustrating experience for me to watch. And so I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Thank you very much for your comments. And that's very well taken point. It's a question that I myself asked when I saw that, yes, first-time, full-time high school students is a goal that we have. Having been here for a while and looking at how things have worked, we've got some opportunity in the high school area. Specifically, right now, CSU, it is so entwined with all of our CPS schools. Our recruiting office gets at least 15 to 20 requests a week for recruiting. That includes bringing second grade children to campus. It's an amazing array of opportunity that we have. What we can do better at is work with those high schools that have students that have strong academic quality, that are prepared for college, and get out there and make sure that those relationships are solid and consistent. What we've done is we've been the nice guy and we've worked with everybody. What we're going to do is be a much more data-driven approach to finding where those students are that want to be here, to work with them, to make partnerships with those academic institutions. We've got many already. But I think that you will see moving forward that with my new director, actually, who's on board, Nancy Bhatia is the new director of university admissions and outreach. She handed out the papers, and I forgot to introduce her. This is something that we are going to be working forward. And so I think that I'm right there with you.
Thank you.
We have a big job.
Sure. Absolutely. Since I've been on board, I have met with two high schools and spoken with several leaders, superintendents. Right now, I would share that with Provost, we are working with Harlan High School right now to offer classes for their students starting in about 2 weeks for about 15 of their students as a pathway program. And we are waiting and finalizing the interest on their part from which students will come to campus for courses. We have also worked with Morgan Park. I've met the Morgan Park High School team. Wonderful, wonderful, spirited people who want to partner with us too. We have already started, and I have attended these meetings with the provost, with outreach folks from my team, and I've met with their superintendents and their principals and their faculty. We've got interest from District 205. We have a wonderful history of enrolling students from the Thornwoods, the high schools. And they have reached out to us and said they want to start a dual credit program with us. And this was just as of a few weeks ago. They have 1,500 students that they want us to teach psychology to. That's kind of the lay of the land for right now, but I can assure you that the list continues, the opportunities. Dr. Blondine Davis from the school system in the suburbs also. She's somebody that I used to know. Her interest in having us come out to the schools that she oversees as superintendent in the south suburbs is very big too. She wants to have us present and as an opportunity.
But we have never taken advantage of that offer from people like Dr. Davis as far as the south suburban school.
You know what? It's not that we haven't taken advantage. I think it comes back to my focus on us moving forward. I think that we've done an awful lot to work on recruitment and outreach, and we could have done a little bit better with closing the loop on some of those efforts. The theme that I've heard, and I've met with several transfer institutions on behalf of Chicago State, the theme that I have heard from the transfer student, the transfer population and their leaders is that we need to do a better job in being consistent. Talking about something, coming up with a wonderful idea, executing it, and looking at the outcomes. So that's where our opportunity is. There's certainly no lack of interest from CPS to the south suburbs.
So you admit that you need to do a better job. You're disappointed as I am with the numbers we see here?
I think absolutely there's always opportunity. And I think that is a big one. I think that we have, as I said, one of the other things that I've learned about Chicago State is that everybody is a part of this school. Everybody knows somebody that graduated. Most of the people I've met since I was here, I was at the Bud Billiken Parade representing CSU with President and the Provost and several of our students. I never saw so much enthusiasm for an institution that I've worked at in my life. People were everywhere, you know, wanting their children to talk to us, screaming from the sidelines, "You guys have nursing, I never knew you had nursing, can you talk to me?" I've given my business cards out to people on the way home. We have so much opportunity that we're gonna work on honing in, and I think we're gonna see, along with my team and the rest of the campus community, we're gonna see some progress, and that is my plan.
I would hope so. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. My last question.
Sure.
The figures reflect the percentage of CPS as far as their enrollment increased or decreased?
Decreased.
To what percentage?
Actually, we're down. The number of new students, new high school, it's about 5%. We also have opportunities internally to work on. We've implemented new processes and new communication plans. I think that what we have here is a lot of opportunity, and we just need to be strategic about how we move forward with those. There, as I said, it's an amazing reception, and it's constant questions and asking from our high school partners, and it's an amazing place to be. A lot of interest in CSU. Yes.
I would say I've been here a number of years, and this all sounds really familiar.
Okay.
A different spokesperson, maybe.
Okay.
But this thing about we're going to be better in the high schools, we're going to do this, it's got to change. I know much of this is not in our control. Our local high schools are in our control.
They are.
And they can be the Catholic schools.
Yes.
The suburban schools. We've relied on CPS. We haven't gone and gotten CPS. We took who came here. We've got to go get the kids now.
That's right.
So I hope when we get another sheet, I've got last year's sheet here that's projected fall 15, 5,367 students.
Yes.
In fact, it's 4,700.
So that you know also, we continue to work on fall enrollment to date. We still have 2 weeks, and we've got a variety of initiatives that are working on our favor, reaching out with the community and offering programs. So that number that we talk about today doesn't mean that that's the number we're going to have when we report our final number to the Illinois State Board of Ed. And you've got a whole institution that's working to make that change.
I think what the board has been asking, at least for the time that I've been here this year, is some kind of comprehensive, tangible plan. You know, not simply the anecdotes,
mm-hmm.
but the comprehensive plan for increasing enrollment and being very intentional about creating a freshman class that kind of brings that as part of our culture, that this is a first-time, first-choice institution for students. And I think that that's what I think I'm hearing, the frustration of the plan for moving these numbers every year, increasing the freshman enrollment, and you know, the plan that is tangible and specific. This is how we will do it. And these will be some of our partner institutions. I mean, you know, what does a feeder system look like from mm-hmm. specific high schools in this region? And what do those relationships look like from specific high schools that we're receiving specific numbers of students, and we can anticipate because of our relationships that we continue to cultivate that this will be a rich vein for us to receive students from. And I think that's what
absolutely
often we're looking for is a specific increase enrollment plan.
And I will be able to present one of those to you. We are well underway as an enrollment management team with my units, and with the addition of our new director, and with Ms. Sydney, and the other leaders in enrollment management, I think that you're going to see. I would be happy to provide you within, I don't even, 60 days, a draft of what's in progress specific. And I think that you're absolutely right. What schools am I talking about? When? Who's contacting us? Where are we going to get these schools or these students? And you also need to know about all the new initiatives that are going on. And I think, is that why we have you here to talk about? Yes, Dr. Green is going to talk about some of those initiatives in the College of Education right now.
Well, just before Dr. Green talks about the new initiatives, if Trustee Zoller pointed out that the 200 and so students who didn't come back was because of money. Now, the state situation isn't going to get any better. I mean, what's going to happen in terms of if we do have more students who want to come here, how are they? There will be the same type of student probably who needs help. So what are we doing to address if the biggest cause for this decline was money, then what's going to make that situation better?
A couple of things is going to make that situation better. I don't know if you've watched the news in the past couple of days, but the federal government has actually implemented a new deadline date for students to apply for financial aid. And that's going to start in October instead of, and it's almost this, you know, we're almost a year ahead of ourselves. Our students need more time, and they need communication, and they need training on that whole process, how to fund higher ed. And we are going to be better at messaging that and walking them through that. And the government is responding as well. The way that the process works has been identified by the government as being troublesome and taking too long. They've moved up the date. That's going to give us an opportunity to change and to get ahead of the number of students that are in the pipeline that just needed a couple of things to be done to make that process better. That's one thing.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Albrecht. If that's all the comments,
I think we have a presentation still.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Dr. Green.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just going to talk a little bit about some initiatives in the College of Ed. It's not a surprise to anyone that the numbers in the College of Education have decreased drastically over the last 5 years. And I think to speak to the point of Chairman Young, money has been an issue for some of the students in the College of Education. So some of the initiatives that we have are grant supported. For example, we have a principal prep program in which you just started a cohort of about 15 principals that are being trained at CSU and paid for by CPS. We also just started a week ago 22 early childhood students with a partnership with Gateway where they're paying their tuition and their fees, and Chicago State is supporting with books. We also are starting a bilingual cohort with funding support, as well as a special education cohort, which we started again, which is funded. And so our initiatives are really surrounded at looking at monies that are available with different agencies. We've been very strategic with partnering with education agencies that want to help to train teachers and principals in their field. And so in the special session, we've brought in about 50 students in the College of Education with financial support to not only increase enrollment, but also to help prepare highly qualified educators in the field. We'll continue to look at opportunities to partner with educational organizations that want to have highly trained educators in their building and opportunities for them to pay for tuition and fees as we move forward. In addition to that, the enrollment in College of Education is always affected when there's an issue in CPS. When teachers are laid off, they typically don't go back and get more training within the field that they got laid off. They typically change the field and try to find a job in another area. And so when there's an issue with CPS, we find that our numbers dwindle as it relates to our professional development, as it relates to our programming. There's also been some issues nationally as it relates to accrediting in the field of education. And as we're talking about numbers, I have had this conversation with VP Cordelet as well as the provost about some things that will be coming in the fall of 2016 that will be detrimental to the enrollment of the College of Education. We are accredited by CAPE, which is our new accrediting body, which is our national accrediting body. In the fall of 2016, anyone that wants to be nationally accredited in a teacher education program will only be able to admit students that are in the top 50% distribution of the SAT, ACT, or GRE, or they will not be able to be admitted in an accredited program. So what does that mean for the College of Education at CSU when we struggle with students passing those standardized measures? And so we're working, I'm working very closely with the VP of Enrollment to come up with a strategy and a plan and supports to support our students to be able to pass this assessment. But the reality is, we may have to look at a different type of student that's coming into the College of Education. That's the fall of 2016. The expectation is the fall of 2017, you would only be able to admit students in the top 44% distribution, and by 2020, top 30%, if we want to keep our national accreditation. And so I bring this up now because we have an opportunity to be strategic, to put a strategic recruitment plan in place for the College of Education and be proactive versus reactive to this situation.